Yeah, we are. Wherever you are, hope you're enjoying your Friday. This Memorial Day weekend should be a great one. Now, Perloff and I got into a pre-show debate, something we just really don't agree on. Now, It stemmed from, I made a list of the top five athletes feeling the most pressure to win a title right now. And that list included Connor McDavid and Caitlin Clark and Josh Allen and Kyle Shanahan and Nikola Jokic. And I did not have any Cowboys on there. I didn't have Mike McCarthy. I didn't have Jerry Jones. And I didn't have Dak Prescott. And it's because I don't think they are actually under real pressure. Now, from the Cowboy fan base, I can understand why they'd be anxious, right? Haven't been to an NFC Championship game since 96. You had the glory days from the 90s. You're getting further and further away from them. And it's time to win. However, I don't think individually those guys are feeling the same type of pressure like the other people I mentioned, and let me tell you why. First, let's go with Jerry Jones. Owns the team. The valuation is higher than any other franchise in the NFL, and I believe any other franchise in professional sports, maybe outside of the New York Yankees.
Right, who also feel enormous pressure to win, but go ahead.
But the New York Yankees have actually changed their philosophy a bit. And the new philosophy is get to the postseason and whatever happens, happens. The old philosophy was win at all costs. That left with George Steinbrenner when he passed away. But with Jerry, he's in the Hall of Fame. He already has the highest valuation of his franchise, which he'll probably never sell. And he has the most power of any owner in the NFL. Winning a Super Bowl doesn't change that. They're still going to sell out Jerry World. You're still going to be America's team. You're still going to have the highest ratings. His life doesn't change if they win a Super Bowl.
Yeah, but name an owner who... it doesn't have the same circumstance. They're all rich.
Yeah, that's why I don't think they all really care. Like, but that's not they don't feel that pressure.
No, I think they really do. I think Jerry, for his reputation, I think that his reputation right now is way past his football accomplishments, and he's desperate to make the two match, I think. So he's this idea that he's not desperate to win seems crazy to me because he looks so sad when they lose.
It's an act.
If anybody, it's not an act.
He's crying into his yacht. I don't know.
Name an owner. Then you're saying no owners feel pressure because they all have yachts.
I don't think they do.
They live and die with these teams.
It's bragging rights at the country club.
Oh, my God. I live and die with my fantasy football team. My fantasy football team to win like $300. Can you imagine if you had the entire franchise? There's so much pride wrapped up in these egomaniacs.
Okay, maybe pride and egomaniacs, but win, lose, or draw, they're all getting TV money. And they're all colossal billionaires who get this massive slice of the pie.
So everybody on your pressure list, except for Caitlin Clark, who's in college, is a millionaire many, many times over.
Actually, Caitlin, maybe she might be close with all the NIL deals and stuff. Hopefully she is.
The money doesn't change the amount of pressure, I don't think.
Agree to disagree on that, but I don't think that Jerry
Well, who'd you
really
put? You
does.
Put Josh Allen has, what, $200 million in the bank? Jokic has $250 million?
No. For the money for all the people on the list, as you mentioned, besides Caitlin Clark, doesn't exist. Right.
Right. The money. So I disagree with, like, that money does not take away any of the pressure. In fact, it often adds to it. When you're getting paid like that, I think in your head, you better live up to that.
Okay, but not the type that Jerry's making. Like, he's making that money no matter if they win or lose. That's been the brilliance, really, of a marketing genius, and I'll call him that, like Jerry Jones, because he keeps the Cowboys so much in the news. Because the fan base is everywhere. He does media once a week on radio. He's in the locker room after every game talking to cameras. He has done such a good job of keeping that franchise relevant without winning. But that's been the greatest trick that he has pulled off.
What name a move he's made that was not about, not him trying to win. That's all he's doing.
Yeah, you could be trying, but I don't think that he is feeling that kind of crazy pressure. Because
all right,
here's
name
another
an owner,
thing.
Name an owner with more pressure.
I don't think any of them feel it. That's what I'm saying. I don't think owners feel that kind of... I don't think they feel pressure to win. I don't think they care because...
Yeah, that's not true.
Deep down, they're all getting paid anyway, and they're all super rich.
Yeah, so are all the players.
Yeah, but not in the way that the owners are. Somebody writes the checks, and that's the owners.
I would say that four of the five people you mentioned will never live long, except for Connor McDavid, too, actually, but they'll never live long enough to spend their money. They're just, unless they live to 115 years old, there's just no way Jokic is going to be able to spend his money.
Okay.
So the money cannot be a motivating factor in this at all.
So next, Mike McCarthy. We talk about Mike McCarthy. Is he on the hot seat? Is he not on the hot seat? How much does he have to win this year? Whatever. There is no one more loyal to coaches than Jerry Jones. Maybe John Mara, the Giants, maybe. But even they've kind of gone through some coaches.
Yeah, not lately.
Yeah, not lately. They've been kind of pulling the trigger. But they're loyal to a fault. Jerry's loyal. I mean, Jason Garrett got a decade. And how many of those years were 8-8? So I think Mike McCarthy probably feels like, I'm good. I think it's the outside pressure that we put on the Cowboys with McCarthy inside the building. I don't think he's feeling that.
They don't have a winning record. I'll bet my seat on the show he's gone.
Well, winning record, but why wouldn't they have a winning record? They're a good enough team and they play in the NFC.
McCarthy's on super hot seat.
Right, but if they go to the playoffs and if they lose in the second round again, he's still back.
Well, that's pretty good. To get to the playoffs and lose the second round, it's pretty good. If they don't make the playoffs, I think McCarthy's in huge trouble. That's the definition of a hot seat.
Okay, but here's the thing. I think we think he's on the hot seat, but I don't think he really is.
I think he is.
And the team is too talented to not make the playoffs. They went 4-1 last year with Cooper Rush as quarterback.
Well, I mean, Jerry's put a different pressure on McCarthy. The stuff he says about McCarthy is a lot different than the stuff he said about early Jason Garrett. I think he's raised the expectations significantly.
I don't know. He just fired Kellen Moore to give McCarthy more, even more of the responsibility. I think he's showing deference to McCarthy.
I think that was, you get one chance to do this or Dan Quinn has your job.
Well, listen,
or Lincoln Riley if you can get him in there.
I'll believe it when I see it, because we all put it's almost like we put this hot seat stuff on McCarthy, and I just don't think it's the reality. I mean, they never talk about him. They always talk about how much they love him.
Jerry talks differently about McCarthy, very much so than he did Garrett. No, he does not. I'm telling you, I'll find you some quotes. Jerry is eyeing this head coach.
He loves McCarthy. He's sleeping at his house wearing his pajamas, which I never understood how that worked.
I think this is a way different situation, because Jerry's 80 now.
Okay,
And by the way, you're wrong. He desperately, desperately wants to win.
No, he's got you fooled. The other person would be Dak Prescott.
Yeah.
Now, Dak Prescott, right? The pressure on Dak Prescott. I think everyone's looking at this all wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Dak Prescott.
So every list of quarterback under the most pressure that leads with Dak Prescott, all those hundreds of lists, all wrong.
They're all wrong, and I'm going to tell you why. Because number one, who's replacing him? He doesn't have anyone breathing down his neck. They've never put anyone in as competition for Dak Prescott. All they've done is pay him and support him. They love this guy. They are more loyal to him than they are to McCarthy. They love Dak Prescott. He's throwing interception after interception. They're saying, we love him, we love him. They love Dak Prescott.
When did he throw interceptions before this year?
Well, I'm saying this year he's throwing interception after interception. And what do they say? Finally, Jerry was like, all right, maybe he's being too aggressive. But it took like weeks for even that to get pried out of Jerry.
He had one season with an injury where he threw a lot of picks and they fired his OC. But regardless, though, you said there's no one behind him. You said Josh Allen's a quarterback under most pressure. What, is Matt Barkley going to steal his job? So what? That doesn't matter. No, Dak is under more pressure every single Monday morning. Every show in the country leads with how did Dak do on Sunday.
Okay,
that's pressure.
But that's because the fan base is so widespread that everyone can like there are more people who have a vested interest in the Cowboys maybe than any other specific team out there, which is part of the reason. But we've never seen any proof that he actually is in the hot seat. They never talk about him in a way except for pure love and support. And then the other part, too, is Dak Prescott was a fourth-round pick. Josh Allen was the seventh pick overall in a loaded quarterback draft class. Dak Prescott's already exceeded all expectations in his mind. He is a fourth-round pick who got an opportunity because Tony Romo had a back injury. I mean, I think that I'm not saying he doesn't want to win. Let's not get that twisted. I think he wants to win. But in terms of suffocating pressure on him, Tony Romo never won jack squat. And what's Romo gone on to do? Get paid $17 million a year to be an okay broadcaster, be at every golf pro-am. His life rocks. It would be exactly the same today as if he won a Super Bowl. His life doesn't change. It's still awesome as a former Cowboys quarterback.
Don't think the quarterbacks think like that at all, even for a second. I think there's such... If Dak cares about his reputation, I think he cares very much. There's so much pressure on Dak to win for his reputation, more so than anybody. Like, he's got to win, or he is just going to get more negative headlines than anyone. He lost 19-12 to the Niners in the divisional playoff game through two picks.
Yeah.
It was an onslaught of criticism. Josh Allen lost 27-10 to the Bengals. I don't think anyone even mentioned Josh Allen's performance in that game. That was not a national storyline, because the team was already, the wheels were coming off that team. that was all about Dak for the Cowboys. Fair or not, I think it's all about Dak, and everybody evaluates Dak's performance all the time. And he has all this money. I think the money affects these guys differently than you do. I think that they really want to prove that they're worth it. Otherwise, they feel like a fraud.
Yeah, but whether they feel like a fraud or not, the money's still there. How do you think Romo's treated when he walks around? Do you think people go up to him and say, man, you really blew that playoff game in Seattle? No, they treat him great.
So who is a quarterback under pressure then?
I do think Allen. I think Lamar.
Allen will never be treated differently, whether he wins or loses. He's going to be a god in Buffalo forever. There's just no doubt about it. Jim Kelly's a god. He never won. He lost 4 straight Super Bowls.
No, but he went to 4 Super Bowls.
You think Josh Allen has any risk to his...
No, it's not that, but...
Josh Allen will walk into the booth for as much money as he wants.
There's a huge expectation on Allen because of how well he's played.
Right.
Dak, we talk about, is he a top 10 quarterback? We could argue about that till the cows come home.
But he's got a lot of...
Josh Allen's top 5 quarterback, and that's not debatable. I think we could ask anyone in the country, they'd say that.
Right. I just think there's a... One of the reasons, too, there's more pressure. I don't think Dak's as good as Josh Allen, so he's got even more pressure to live up to, like, something. But regardless, I think you know people in our industry, for example, the highest paid people, you think they don't feel pressure because they're getting big paychecks. They feel 3 times the amount of pressure of
an economy. Right. Because something happens to them, it happens to the producers, to all the people down the line.
Nope.
Yeah, I get it.
No, it's because their egos have become so big because they've made so much money. They want to live up to that contract. Yeah. They're desperate. You know?
I know people in this business also take big checks and mail it in.
I don't know anyone like that. Well, maybe in this building, but I'll tell you.
I'm not naming names. They're not here anymore.
You go to the mothership, I'll just say, like, Stephen A. is...
No, he's a hardworking guy.
It's not just hardworking. He feels so much pressure to live up to that paycheck very intense.
And I think that, again, it's not that they don't want to win. It's not they don't want to win. It's just, are you really feeling the pressure? There's a world where Dak Prescott's like, look at what I've done so far. I'm not saying he's resting on his laurels, but as a 4th-round quarterback who's now been the face of America's team, represented them well, perennial playoff team, when he's healthy, they go to the postseason, and he's set for life, for everything. His life doesn't change whether he wins a Super Bowl or not.
Russell Wilson was a 3rd-round pick, won a Super Bowl.
Also exceeded expectations.
Right. Last year, the amount of negativity towards his bad season was overwhelming, maybe the most I've ever seen towards a quarterback in a single season in my life. Do you think that any of that, do you think he, during week 9 last year, he said, well, I got a ring, this doesn't hurt?
No, I think it does, but if you were asking me, I don't think he's feeling the most pressure this year. He's feeling a lot to play better.
After last year's debacle, I think he's feeling a lot of pressure.
Interesting. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227.
Yes. By the way, Orlovsky put out a pressure list. He said Jordan Love is feeling more pressure than anyone.
Oh, you know what? I didn't think about Jordan Love. That guy's probably under a lot of pressure.
That's a lot of pressure following Aaron Jones.
Aaron Rodgers is going to be tough.
And, of course, he had Dak number 2. I mean, Dak's under intense pressure, Maggie. You are underestimating this Cowboys thing.
Think so. Let's go to the phones. 855-212-4CBS. Stuart's in North Carolina. Hey, Stuart, how are you?
Good. Great conversation. And Maggie, normally I take your point of view, but I don't think you could be more wrong on this.
Which one? Which part?
how much money somebody has in the bank has nothing to do with what their sports reputation is. I mean, look what's going to happen to Nikola Jokic after they win the NBA championship. People will completely look at him differently.
Yeah.
And you don't think, like, Dan Marino would be looked at differently if he had a Super Bowl? I mean, your guy Kelly, if he won one of those, you don't think people would look at him differently? I think Jerry Jones has tons of pressure because they've been a mediocre team for about 25 years, and if he hired regular general managers and they have this reputation and they had this record in the last 25 years, he'd probably be on general manager number 5 or 6.
I know, but Stuart, that's the thing. He could if he wanted to. If he was really serious about winning, he actually could hire a general manager. He could do all these things. He doesn't want to. You want to know why? Because it's more important for him to be Jerry Jones than to win. And the thing is you make great points, Stuart. It's awesome. Thank you so much for the phone call. He's a businessman first. Uh-huh. I know he likes to think he's a football man first, but he's a businessman first, and business is booming for the Dallas Cowboys and has been for decades.
Yeah, you're dead wrong. He is so tied up into his football reputation. You think he's looking at his bottom line and say, "Ah, yeah, we just got slaughtered by the Commanders, but you know what? I have this much money." No,
it's not just about the money. It's about the influence.
The dude drives around in a Cowboys bus.
Yeah, but
he's more tied into his football success than any owner, not just in the league right now, probably ever.
The bus is because it's like a traveling office, and it's good for the cameras. He can ride in style, and it's about power. See, that's the thing. I'm not even saying that it's necessarily about the money. I think it is about the power with these guys. And Jerry Jones is already the most powerful owner, and he's in the Hall of Fame. Winning a Super Bowl is not going to change any of that. He's already there. He's ascended to the top. He's good.
No.
He's fine.
It's a total misreading of a person like Jerry Jones. It's completely misreading. Because you know guys at the top of the field, you feel like, oh, you know what, I'm there. I don't know any people. The people I know who are at the top of the field are so driven for success that they never turn it off. Look at Tom Brady right now. You think he's like, oh, I won 6 Super Bowls, I'm okay? The guy's going to have such a mental breakdown, it's ridiculous.
I think that you and I are determining what Jerry Jones thinks of his success as different things.
Well, you think that traveling bus is an office already. I don't even know what you think goes on in that
bus. I'm sorry, I meant a bar. It's a Johnny Walker Blue dispensary.
Yeah, if that's an office, I don't think HR is going to approve of what goes on in there.
It's an office where every hour is happy hour. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. All right, we do have some crazy story. I had to read it twice because I couldn't believe that it was actually true. It is. Is someone going to get fired over it? Maybe. We'll give you that story in just a moment. Plus, the advice duck comes your way in just seconds. Meanwhile, it's time to answer our Ask the Pros question of the day. Brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Today's question comes from Jerry, funny enough, who comes to us not in Dallas, but in Tulsa, asking, do you know who, was it Cliff Breyer? Cliff Breyer tweet? Yeah, don't forget, you can submit a question by going to cbssportsradio.com/askthepros or tweeting it at cbssportsradio using the hashtag AskThePros. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Okay, so my computer just kind of crashed here, but what he's referring to is this crazy story about an NBA referee. Cutliff Blair, pardon me, that's the name of the burner. Cutliff Blair. Turns out is a Twitter handle that has been traced back to NBA referee. I'm trying to get his name here. Oh, what's this guy's name?
Eric Lewis.
Eric Lewis, thank you. Eric Lewis, my computer's just dying on the story. Eric Lewis broke every single rule of having a burner account that you can possibly break.
I didn't know there were rules.
There are rules. He was only following other referee accounts.
Oh, boy.
And the George Mason women's basketball team, where his wife is a coach. He was only using the account to defend people who said negative things about his refereeing. And now, as soon as he got smoked out, he deleted the account. It also was registered to his AOL email address. Just every wrong thing with a burner you could possibly do. And now he's been found out.
How did they find out that it was registered to his email address?
Because there's 6 people on AOL that still have an email address.
Yeah,
So some gumshoe reporting. And so it's not as big a deal as Brian Colangelo, the former GM of the Sixers, having the burner accounts and like tweeting out sensitive medical information about players. He got fired for that. I don't know if Eric Lewis is going to get fired for this, but it is an embarrassing story about a referee having really thin skin.
Oh, I like it. I like a referee who stands up for himself and creates a burner account and defends himself.
What do you like about that?
I don't hate this guy. I think it shows he's invested in his craft, at least. I mean, he's not in any trouble, is he?
I don't know, but it's embarrassing for the league. If you're a referee, the number one thing you need is thick skin. You're going to get criticized. You're basically there to be criticized. So you can't then have a burner account that's so obvious as soon as it gets found out where you're just defending yourself on Twitter. You got to let it go.
I think, yeah, I don't think this is going to really go anywhere too bad. I hope he keeps his job. And then they send out a memo, please don't do this.
Imagine if it was Scott Foster.
That'd be great. But if Scott Foster is like, ha-ha, I made it the series into 7 games.
It's like a magician.
Yeah, I have multiple. You know how you know when a burner is coming after you on Twitter? Because this happens to me all the time.
What's that?
Well, don't you get tweets like, you stink, you should be fired? Then you go back, go look, they have zero followers and six tweets.
Yeah.
And it's always the same guy, like, who has nine different handles. I don't understand people with energy for a burner because I can barely run my own account.
I know. It's,
oh, same way.
It's so, you, I mean, you got to create the fake email address. It is such a pain in the butt.
But I could, if I did have a burner, would you ever create a burner and just say nice things about yourself?
Oh, to pump yourself up.
Like this
no,
guy.
I wish I thought of that like 6 years ago.
Kind of like this guy. I mean, defend yourself.
Oh, to defend myself? No. Here's the thing. I've thought about creating burner accounts. I'll be totally honest with you. I've thought about it. Like, this is what I'm really going to say about somebody. And then the moment comes, like a vision comes across my mind. Idiot radio broadcaster creates burner to defend herself all over the New York Post, and I'm just the world's biggest idiot. So that's what keeps me from creating a burner.
That's smart. Although, you might want to create a burner to defend your Jerry Jones doesn't want to win because he's already got a lot of money take.
I think don't that's need it. Come most, at me. It's fine.
I think that's the most you're going to get.
I'm fine with that. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. The advice ducks in the house next. You want to watch us, youtube.com/CBS Sports Radio.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Back on Maggie and Perloff, it is summer theme music from Carlos. Why'd you pick this Beach Boys song? Just curious. Barbara Ann, summer.
Do I know anything about the Beach Boys?
I knew you did not know anything about the Beach Boys.
How do you not know anything about the Beach Boys? Just
don't
know anything?
I know of them. The fact that I'm playing them is an accomplishment.
Wait, did Perloff slip you that one? No.
No, I was taking suggestions from the chat. They don't think I read. I see everything. So they toss this out there. I didn't want them to know that I picked it, so I just threw it on for the chat.
Well, actually, Maggie threw out Everybody Surfing USA the other day.
It was classic LA songs. I thought Surfing Safari.
Surfing Safari.
Yeah. But every Beach Boys song kind of sounds like summer.
It does.
But Pet Sounds, what's that, the name of the album?
I kind of knew Carlos didn't really know the Beach Boys.
Of course not.
Where'd you pull? Yeah, you've had some old school ones in here. I'm impressed.
Now, most music I do know, but Beach Boys, like, no, I don't have a long catalog for Beach Boys. I know about the Kinks. My undergrad is in music management, and I used to work in music before sports, so I have an eclectic music collection. You have no idea.
Awesome. Okay, well, you're the perfect person to be doing our theme music coming back from breaks today, as Perloff said, send up to summer, as it is Memorial Day weekend. All right, she's here. He's here. Whatever. Does the duck have a gender? Let's not go down that rabbit hole. The advice duck is in the house. Get us canceled. Advice duck is in the house.
I think the advice has to be a woman, by the way, because nobody wants to listen to a male duck.
To be honest, I have been answering most questions from the point of view of a woman, so
yeah.
I guess we'll just go with that.
I mean, yeah, because you still are a woman even when you put the duck costume on, Maggie.
That is true. Okay. Got one silly one. We'll go to that one first, and then we got one that's a little bit more, where is it? Okay, this is from Brian was in the chat. The Weed Eater sent one in, so I want to... YouTube.com/CBS Sports Radio is where you can watch the show, Me in the Duck Suit. Pineapple on pizza. This is an easy one. Here's the thing about any kind of pizza toppings. Just do you. I can pick off whatever I don't want to eat. I know people get all up in arms about the pizza toppings. To me, it just doesn't matter.
Okay, true, you can, but kids cannot. They get really sensitive if there's any flavor.
Oh my gosh, believe me, I know I got a picky eater kid my own.
Yeah, I know.
Little duck does not go with the flow when it comes to food.
If I tried to sell a ham and pineapple pizza to my daughter and took off the pineapples, you think that would work?
No.
Advice duck?
Actually, now that I think about it, if it's a kid, if there's a green pepper within 100 miles of this pizza, then we're going to have a serious problem.
Yeah. Oh my God.
I'm talking about adults. Adults.
Okay, adults can pick it off. But doesn't the flavor resonate? Of the pineapple.
You know.
I love pineapple pizza, by the way, so I'm not going to pull them off.
Does the flavor resonate? It might a little bit. I think onions is the only flavor that really stays.
Onions and garlic. You're not going to get it out of that box.
No. garlic is like, forget it. It's on you for a week.
It's delicious, but it is problematic.
That's like the white pizzas and stuff like that, where it's just like a ton of garlic. I don't generally do stuff like that at parties and things.
What's your personal? Take the duck costume off for a second. Do you like pineapple on pizza?
Not really.
Okay.
What about you?
I don't. This is the weirdest thing. I don't like raw pineapple, but I like cooked pineapple. Hmm. I do like it on pizza.
Okay.
Although you generally get judged when you order it.
I'm judging right now.
What is your favorite topping?
I generally just eat it plain. I'll take a grandma slice, speaking of garlic. I also love my favorite all-time combination. This is going to get me totally killed. Broccoli and mushrooms.
I can't eat pizza with either of you.
What's yours, Carlos?
Oh, I'm just a boring pepperoni guy, but pepperoni's delicious.
I know.
I'm a sausage guy or a plain mushroom guy. The broccoli seems like a little bit too much to me. I like mushroom, and I like plain.
What about black olive? Also good.
I'm not black olive. We cannot order together.
Okay. Everyone's getting their own pizza.
And I don't. And here's a weird thing. I find pepperoni a little overwhelming. How wimpy is that? I don't know. Would you?
I'm the guy that likes cooked pineapples.
No, I like a lot of different toppings. I don't like broccoli. I don't like pepperoni. I don't like black olives. We're not ordering pizza together.
All right, we're all getting our own pizzas. Emmanuel, you can come in. You can have some of my pizza. Okay, another.
Emmanuel, by the way, he'd eat whatever we gave him. I could tell he's very accommodating.
Yeah, I try to stay away from pizza for like dietary purposes. But if you put one in front of me, there's zero way I'm going to deny it. Yeah,
wow, you're watching your weight. You're a totally young, slim guy.
I'm like one of those like self-conscious people about my weight.
Window,
I'm like,
you fly away.
Yeah, like if I have one slice of pizza, I think I automatically put on like 10 pounds.
It's because it's probably true. not to make you worse. Okay.
Yeah.
That's just the way it goes. Okay, more for the advice duck. This one comes from Sammy, who sent us an email at maggieandperloff@gmail.com. Okay, friends and I are getting a summer share house. We've been planning this for weeks. It's a group of friends from college. The problem is, me and my girlfriend, who's also friends with the group, just broke up. Can I still go to the share house?
Gotcha.
You got to go to the share house. I'm assuming you've already paid for it. Everyone's already paid. What I would try to do here is drink a lot. No, what I would try to do, that's the advice duck's answer for everything. That's not what I mean. What you have to do is you kind of have to try to stay away from her a little bit. You know, if everyone's going to the beach, maybe that's the day you go to town. If everyone's going to town, maybe that's the day you don't have to isolate yourself, but maybe you try to keep your distance a little bit, at least for the first couple days, let everybody kind of get set, and then maybe the bad vibes will go away.
Yeah, I'm doing that. If I'm in that share house and I'm not one of those two people, that popcorn meme where you eat your popcorn waiting for the giant blowout fight sometime around July 4th. Oh, it's going to be good.
That's a T.O. get your popcorn ready
situation. Yeah, T.O. Oh, man, that's going to be fun to watch that couple fight. Yeah, I think you gave the right advice, but that's a tough situation. I've seen that play out many times.
I wish I could go.
You want to be
Chad, invite me.
You want to see it too, right?
It's good. I'm there with a big bag of popcorn.
Yeah.
You guys are dead.
Me and Carlos will be on the couch watching. Like, hey, did you see what Chad said about you the other day?
Every time they walk in the room, Perloff and I are just going shh.
You guys are the worst. Honestly, there's nothing more awful than watching a couple fight. It's not fun for anybody.
Yeah, but I would say in your 20s, like when you get share houses, when we got share houses.
Yeah.
There is something about enjoying your friend's misery.
The advice duck wouldn't know anything about that. Okay, and then we have finally, our last one comes from a very special question today. So I have a question for the advice duck. You have a friend who has an awful taste in posters, and he loves to put those posters up in the office. How do you tell him the posters have to go? That's one from Zach Gelb.
Oh, God.
In the chat. Hi, Zach. We've been trying. The more you hit subscribe, you out there, to youtube.com/CBS Sports Radio, our friends, our listeners, the closer we get to destroying the Carson Wentz poster. Zach has already subscribed. Emmanuel, have you subscribed?
No, I haven't.
Right now, youtube.com/CBS Sports Radio, and tell five friends. Carlos is already doing his part. Multiple burner accounts. Everyone's got to subscribe.
Yeah, that NBA officials burner account subscribe. Here's the thing. There's risk involved here.
Why?
Because if we don't hit 1,000 YouTube subscribers by the end of the NBA Finals, that thing is staying up here forever, for at least a year.
I know. This is what's on the line here, guys.
Yeah, this is not.
Gotta get rid of that thing.
Gotta get rid of that thing. Thank you, Zach. Thank you for weighing in, reminding us. YouTube.com/CBS Sports Radio. Hit subscribe, because if we don't, I feel like not only is that thing staying up, I feel like you're going to add to it.
Yes. And if you get rid of it, I also might replace it with something worse. You never know.
Jeez. You're going to come with a Freddie Mitchell poster.
That guy, actually, I'm not a fan of. Fred X, no, I'm good. By the way, Emmanuel is looking at us like we are the weirdest people in the world. Like, what are these people doing? Why is Maggie dressed like a duck?
I'm just kind of fascinated by this whole segment and the questions. I'm just taking it in, and the facial expression, I'm glad it reflects that.
This is just a regular day at the M&P show. I mean, this is just what we do. Why am I in a duck costume? What's a long story?
It was a lost bet, like most things.
Yeah, started off with a lost bet to Nick in Texas, where Cal Bears just couldn't cover a 17-point spread against Oregon. And now we had the duck costume, so we had to do something with it.
I can't really explain the backstory of the Carson Wentz. Goes back to week 13 against the Rams when he tore his ACL during the Super Bowl year.
No, we don't need that.
Then there was this thing with country music in the weight room.
Yeah.
the whole Carson Wentz story is very deep. And you know what? He's coming back this year. And whatever team he's on, Maggie, whatever he signs, I think I'm going to get more Carson Wentz memorabilia.
Call it now. Where's Carson Wentz playing in 2023?
Rams.
The Rams is a good one.
Rams are the Raiders, somewhere out west, and everybody gets on the field. Every second or third string quarterback. I think the worst possible scenario is that we get to 1,000 YouTube subscribers, get rid of the Carson Wentz poster, and I bring in a worse Carson Wentz poster.
I mean, that one doesn't exist. I don't know how you're going to bring in a worse Carson Wentz poster.
Oh, I saw one on eBay.
I know.
I put in a bid.
Oh, my gosh. Subscribe, everyone. Please tell your friends. YouTube.com/CBS Sports Radio. Hit subscribe, and that Carson Wentz poster is going to go night-night. Okay, a lot more to do, including... This is hilarious from last night. Got to play it for you. Haven't done it yet. Amazing, amazing moment in television history. We'll get to that after this CBS Sports Update with Emmanuel Barbari. Is this 2 days in a row with Sinatra?
I don't know. I'm not ready for summer. So I'm not feeling, it doesn't feel like summer.
You're not ready for summer?
It hasn't been hot enough for summer in New York. So I'm not really, do you feel like summer's about to begin?
You're right. It was like kind of a frost the other day.
Yeah, it's been a little chilly.
I'm ready for it.
My tan is not fully actualized yet.
I mean, how long are we waiting for that? I don't know. We'll be sitting here till the dawn of time. I don't know. Do you usually get tan? You don't.
Sure don't.
Yep.
I mean, I could. I could get burned.
I could. I just don't want to.
No, I mean, I'd prefer not to die of skin cancer by October.
No, we don't want that to happen. Let's get to our Casamigos shot of the day.
He shoots!
The shot of the day is brought to you by Casamigos Tequila. Casamigos is brought to you by those who drink it. And dare I say, Memorial Day weekend at my house will also be brought to you by Casamigos. And I can't wait for it. Today's Casamigos shot of the day was from earlier. We were talking about the Celtics and Heat at last night's Game 5. We noticed there was a big celebrity sitting courtside in Boston. It's so funny. All these years, I never really saw it. With you and McLovin, the Christopher Mintz Plotz, whatever his name is.
Nobody saw it.
I never really saw it. I'm like, what was Dan Patrick seeing there? And then last night, I was like, yeah, I see it. Last night, it finally clicked for me. Like, maybe it does look like McLovin.
Yeah, it was not Dan. It was a reader in like 2008.
Oh, right.
Because I wore McLovin. I used to have blacker glasses. No, there's nothing. There's
nothing
no one
there.
Has ever confused the two of us, except for we're both white guys. You know, it's like not
wear
much
glasses.
Else. Yeah, there's not much else going there.
Last night, I finally saw it. Yep, Perloff does. I get the McLovin thing now.
Really? If I wasn't called McLovin, you would have seen that guy on TV last night and said, wow, that looks like Andrew?
Maybe not, but now that you have the nickname.
But I did call him.
Yeah, it's been with you for a while.
I had no idea. The one thing I did not notice about it, that if I didn't read that was Bailey Zappi who he was high-fiving, I would have no idea.
I didn't know it was Zappi till you told me.
Yeah, I mean, he was... What does that mean that Bailey Zappi's in the front row? You read a lot in the NFL players who are at NBA playoff games. So does that mean Zappi's got a line on the starting job?
I think it might. I mean, that's going to be... How much do you think that ticket costs?
Nothing.
10 grand?
No, they don't.
No, for him, nothing. But like in actuality.
Oh, yeah.
10 grand, maybe more.
For the playoffs, maybe even more.
Maybe 20. I heard that the Laker game seats, they were going for 30,000.
Yeah,
the front row seats.
And a lot of celebrities cannot get these seats. Like, you got to be hot to get up there. You got to be McLovin.
You got to be McLovin.
Who is from Boston.
Or higher. But yeah, Bailey Zappi being there, I do read into it. Like, I read into Sam Darnold being with Christian McCaffrey and Kelsey at the, or not Kelsey, Kittle, pardon me, at the Warriors game. Read into Bailey Zappi being there?
I'm trying to say this politely. I think this is a tenuous reason to decide who's ahead in the depth chart.
Listen, Robert Kraft saying he likes Zappi is probably enough to push him to the top of the depth chart. That should really be the one.
Yeah, it's like, all right, analyzing a quarterback battle, not how they looked in training camp or preseason. Well, you know, this guy was at game six.
Yeah, sitting next to McLovin. Okay, so this was also fun from last night. So you got Barkley, because the game was such a blowout, there really wasn't much to talk about in the post game. So instead, we got Barkley doing a Boston accent.
I saw Annie at Fenway Park eating chowder on top of the monster.
No, not at all. Not
Try it one more time, Chuck.
I saw Annie at Fenway Park in chowder on top of the monster.
Yo, why y'all doing this to this guy?
What's his name?
That was a hard one.
Annie.
The word you really had trouble with was my name.
Annie.
Oh, that's what he said?
Is that how you say my name in Boston?
I saw Annie.
Hey, Annie.
At Fenway Park in chowder on top of the monster.
So they were having a little bit of fun. Tell me if I'm reading this right. I've been lucky enough. I got to meet Ernie Johnson once, and he is like prince of a guy. I mean, really, really nice.
Awesome.
Everything people say about him is 100% true. I feel like he's getting a little fed up with these guys these days.
No,
I think he is.
He
has to be such a babysitter sometimes with them. I think sometimes I can feel it, sense it just a little bit. Not with that.
I think it's just the same now as it's always been. You know, he's got a podcast with Charles, which is actually really good. But when Charles started saying that, I had no idea that he was saying Ernie. I thought, I didn't know. Did you understand that?
Well, they had it on the bottom of the screen.
Oh.
So they subtitled it.
Do you think you can pull that off?
No. My Boston accent is not. I'm
Give
not
us
the
a
accent
word.
Person. Pac in the car? I'm not good.
That was great. I mean, I felt like a Kennedy was in the house right now.
What about you? You have relatives in Boston. You're there all the time.
Pac in the car at Harvard Yard.
No.
Ernie.
Annie, I saw Annie on the Carlos, can you do a Boston accent?
I can only do like the part from The Departed. He's like
the mash.
Yeah, gotta park the car at the back of the bar.
Jack Nicholson's accent in The Departed is so bad, and he's such
awful.
A good actor.
It's so bad,
and that's just how difficult that accent is to do.
Yeah, I didn't love that movie. I think partly was because of the accent. I didn't love Leo either. Was Leo's that much better?
Matt Damon's good in that.
He's good.
Mark Wahlberg
good bad
was good
guy.
In that.
Yeah, right. You need native Bostonians to play. Yeah, you need native Bostonians to play Bostoners.
I think you're totally right about that. Even the great Jack Nicholson couldn't do it with the Boston accent.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Jack was so over the top that entire movie. I'm not sure even if he nailed the accent.
I know. He's like got the cocaine, like throws it at the girls. It is very odd.
Yeah,
Scorsese is like that, you know?
Yeah, I thought that movie was just trying to... I mean, the Korean original was outstanding, though.
What?
I mean, it's based on a Korean movie, Internal Affairs. It's one of the best movies ever, but this did not capture any of that.
Yeah, I didn't like The Irishman either. I think Scorsese's got another one coming out, though, soon.
Right.
He has one with Leonardo DiCaprio. I think it's about like the Native Americans.
In Oklahoma, yeah.
Yeah, something like that.
All right.
It's supposed to be brutally violent and brutally depressing.
Fantastic. And I bet it's going to go on for 8 hours.
I actually like The Irishman, although most of my friends disliked it. I'd say a large majority of them.
It was too long, and De Niro was just too old.
Oh, yeah, I know.
He was beating up a guy in slow motion, but it was supposed to be real time.
Honestly, WWE characters do a better job of selling that stuff than De Niro. I mean, it was rough. And I didn't even think that Pesci was good in it, and I didn't think that Al Pacino was good in it.
Why do all my friends also don't like Pesci? Pesci was amazing as Ralph Buffalino. Oh, my God, he was great.
Didn't do it for me.
Did you like Pesci in Untouchables?
I don't think I've seen
Untouchables. I mean, not Untouchables, Goodfellas, sorry.
Oh, of course.
Okay, yes. So you like Pesci.
I loved him in Goodfellas. I loved him in Casino. I loved him in a movie called The Super, where he's the funny movie where he's the slumlord.
Well,
what about Home Alone?
Tour de Force.
As the crook.
Tour de Force is My Cousin Vinny.
Killers of the Flower Moon. That's what the movie is about.
Wait, My Cousin Vinny is...
My Cousin Vinny
is... right. Goodfellas and My Cousin Vinny are right there.
Incredible. I'm a huge Pesci person.
Okay, good, good, good. Yeah, he's a great actor. I thought he was good in Irishman. I thought De Niro was the problem. But anyway.
Yeah, I mean... It just, are you up for another Scorsese? It's just like the Christopher Nolan movie that they keep promoting in the all the NBA games about Oppenheimer, about the atomic bomb.
Oh, yes, that one.
Am I sitting through that?
You know,
it's
so funny.
It's going to be like 3.5 hours long.
Dude, it's going to be a 2-day commitment.
Every NBA playoffs, they promote a movie, and sometimes they do like the Jason Tatum will interact with Spider-Man in a commercial.
So ridiculous.
Yeah, I know. At least Oppenheimer, they're not like saying, like Jokic is like going to hit the button or something.
Interviewing Oppenheimer.
Jokic is going to hit the button. Here's the other part. You guys know I'm not a Marvel person. I've got a blind spot here. But the DC comic one about that I've been watching.
The Flash.
With The Flash, and Michael Keaton is back, and Affleck is Batman. Like, I watched the trailer. There is no chance in hell that's going to be a good movie, right?
No. Oh, no. I'm so with you.
I'm watching the trailer, and I know nothing about these things.
Jumbled mess.
You're right.
There's no chance that's going to be good.
They completely stole the plot from Marvel.
Yeah, from the last Spider-Man.
The last Spider-Man, where you bring back old characters. Yeah, DC's a disaster. You're right on. And they show that commercial so many times. The longer the series goes, the more we have to watch that stupid Flash commercial.
Nuggets and forth, please.
Although Michael Keaton, strong fan. He's awesome.
I love him. I always say that's my favorite Batman. And people,
I think
Jack Nicholson's my favorite Joker. And people get really upset with me because of Heath Ledger.
Yeah, I can hear you. But you've seen the Batman movies? They're so random. You've seen a few of these.
I've seen all the Batman movies.
Wow, Carlos, we have a lot of talk about. He's a Marvel guy like me. There's been a lot of Marvel news. There's a lot of new movies coming out that you have no idea about.
Yeah, well, I'm going to be blissfully unaware.
Squirrel Girl.
Yeah, baby.
No shot I'm doing that. Carlos Ortiz, Andrew Kaplan, fantastic work today. Guys are awesome. Cannot do the show without you. To the Weedos and the Purple Drinkers and the chat, the callers, fantastic.
Can't wait to come back and talk about that Celtics comeback from 0-3.
We'll see. Have a great Memorial Day weekend, everybody. Be safe.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.